Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Dunick, Chase McCabe with you. Don't forget, Silly Underdog Picks tomorrow at high noon. Also tomorrow for you to make your Week 9 picks. It's the game you love. You get three picks, college or pro. If your underdog wins outright, you know you win. You get the points. That's how the contest works. We'll review our picks tomorrow and make our new selections. Of course, Kelly Holcomb and Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders is a part of our crew for that. It's a lot of fun on Thursdays at high noon. Our weekly winner this week will get a tin roof gift card. So go check it out. Go to thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app. Sign up and make your picks today. 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, just down the road from me as I sit here in Rutherford County in Smyrna, down the campus of MTSU. Charlotte will be in town. The 49ers taking on the Blue Raiders. 2:30 kickoff, and Charlotte's head coach, a guy we got to know when he was in the area at Austin Peay, their head coach, Will Healy, is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
Gentlemen, I've missed y'all. Hope y'all are doing well.
Well, we feel the same way. It's been too long since we last spoke, and so I guess to get caught up quickly, how have things been since we last spoke? I know a lot's happened.
Well, COVID has definitely thrown a wrench into the 2020 year in general, but especially just typical day-to-day protocol that we're going through, and it's been interesting. You know, I mean, from our original schedule, we have had six games canceled or postponed, and so you get to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you just have your fingers crossed that you're actually going to be able to play in the game. And, you know, we've had a game canceled at 2:30 on a Friday for six positive tests, and then they called us back and said they weren't positive, you know, and then the Georgia State had that issue, and we had a game canceled at 10:30 Thursday night for FIU, and then we had to cancel first thing Thursday morning for North Carolina. So, I mean, it's been crazy, but, you know, this is going to be the first time we've played three consecutive weeks. So we're trying to get into a little bit of a rhythm and a flow and hopefully find a way to get a big one on Saturday.
Yeah, that's where I was going with this. You've had to deal with cancellations and postponements, and that was interesting how you laid that out. There's no manual, Will, as you know, on how to handle this. There was no manual for a pandemic in 2020. So trying to navigate through those waters, how difficult and challenging has it been for you and your staff?
You know, I mean, it's not only that, it's, you know, it's racism, it's social injustice, you know, it's having, I mean, you go take, you know, 10 or 15 guys that are mid-year players for you, and you think, I got January through May to make sure that they understand our culture and that we go through some adversity together, and we can replace some really big pieces that we lost from a year ago. And then next thing you know, you're sitting at home in March, and those guys are back at home, and so you're starting all over. It's like taking all of them as August transfers instead of January transfers. So I think the biggest thing that I've seen with this football team is that we, you know, something as simple as hanging out in the locker room together. No, I mean, it's 10 minutes, get your butt in there, get showered, and get the heck out of there. Don't hang out, don't relax. Hey, put a mask on, get the heck away from one another, be spaced out on the buses. You know, we're rooming you with your roommate who's at home. I mean, it's all different. And so some of the things that I usually take a lot of pride in, having a tight-knit football team, that, you know, having a tight-knit staff, they've been it's been a work in progress this year. And it's been difficult because, I mean, I'm a COVID coach. I'm not a football coach. You know, I mean, that's what I do. That's what I spend my time doing. Hey, put your mask up. Hey, get the heck away from each other. Hey, you know, get out of the locker room, hurry up and shower, you know, whatever it is, or space out in meetings. And so, I mean, not only do I not do a ton of football during the week in general, but now especially it has nothing to do with the game. And it has been a challenge, but I can't imagine going through the challenge with, you know, somebody different than the staff we have. They've been awesome, and our players have been great. It's just we are under construction.
Yep. Will Healy is on the line with us. When you got hired at Austin Peay and going through that first season, which was tough trying to navigate through those waters, you had to go through a winless season to start then building and changing that program. How were you able to use what you learned in Clarksville for that your first season last year, where you didn't have to go through a winless season? Not only did you not go through a winless season, you were able to jump right in there, have a winning season, and go to a bowl.
I still made a bunch of mistakes last year, you know, and I felt like I got in the – first off, the program that I inherited here was a total different than the program than the one we inherited at Austin Peay. I mean, it was a program that had just gone from one win to five wins instead of a program that won one game in 4 years. You know, there was a really, really good group of seniors, I mean, including two guys who got drafted and another one who signed a free agent deal. So – there was some talent for sure that was on the roster and a group that, you know, was still frustrated to the fact that they missed a bowl game by a game, you know, the year before. So what you inherited was different. So I think you had a little bit more of a head start. Where I made a mistake in year one was, you know, I got a bunch of these seniors that are really good players and we're going to do everything we can to win for them in our first year here. So we'll establish this culture, you know, after these guys leave. And then we get to a point where we're 2-5 and we're losing games and we don't have a culture anywhere close to where I would like it. And I'm saying, well, there's only one thing about this I can control, and that is making sure we lay the groundwork for what I want it to feel like on a regular basis here. And we got back to that. We really started focusing on us more so than just trying to find a way to win football games and finding a way for me to at least lay my head on a pillow at night and know we were focused on the right things. And we were fortunate to go on a 5-game win streak and made the bowl game, had the first winning season in school history. But I mean, just like I messed up a bunch in year one at Austin Peay, I messed up a bunch last year. And I think going through different situations, you can take all the advice you want. It's like going to your first bowl game. I went to my first bowl game last year, and I called 100 different people, and they're like, here's what you need to do. Here's what helps you win. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. So I put a bunch of notes together, and until I got there and went through it, I didn't know how to handle a bowl game. So all of those experiences to me are going to help me the next time I go through it and the next time we go to a bowl game and the next time I see some of the same things happening to our football team that I did a year ago, and really gave me a good head start for what we need to focus on this year and what we make sure, you know, what we need to make sure we don't lose sight of.
Talking to Will Healy, the head coach of the Charlotte 49ers. They'll be taking on Middle Tennessee this weekend. Charlotte 2-1 in Conference USA. And Will, I'm curious your thoughts. Conference USA is so unique. It's spread out geographically. You've got a lot of teams all around, and of course they've all had the challenges with the virus, as you just illustrated what it's been like for your team. How do you feel like the league leadership has been trying to keep everybody together? I would think that's a huge challenge for any conference.
Yeah, not only that, but like, I mean, think about how this thing has changed. And it's crazy. I mean, listen, I'm not very politically correct. The reality of the situation is whatever the SEC and the ACC do, pretty much everybody else in the country is going to do. Mm-hmm. And so when Nick Saban gets COVID and he can test out after 3 days, it changes our protocol within our conference. And when, you know, Trevor Lawrence gets it and people across their country, like, people are going to find out what is really the protocol when those big name figures actually have, you know, contract the disease. So what we've done, it's all been, let's learn on the run, testing, right? What's the best day to test? You know, we've been Sunday, Tuesday, Friday if you're at home, Thursday if you're on the road. And what our conference figured out was, hey, listen, not real. I made an announcement to our football team at 1:30 on Saturday when we were already in Boca to let them know that we could play FAU. I mean, if we can move it up a day and before we get on a plane and make our guys travel, if we can know that the team we're going to play can actually play, that's probably the right way to do it. So we changed that protocol, you know. If the testing companies that we've used, you know, some people are just using computer generated outcomes. Some people are having people who check the computer generated outcome to make sure that the graph looks like it's supposed to for a true positive. What's the threshold? All of this stuff is like, I laughed with our basketball coach the other day, and I said, I feel like I'm the guinea pig for what's going to happen with basketball. Like, let's screw all this stuff up for football, and let's make sure we got it right for basketball. But I think our conference leadership has done a really good job supporting us. I think our own administration has done a tremendous job of supporting our student athletes, and we're making, you know, making through it the best way we know how, and that is every single day you better hold on to your seat and be ready to change.
I'm curious, Will, as you go through every day, you've given us tremendous insight on what it's like going through this on a daily basis. What are the resources for testing in Conference USA as compared to, you know, we're talking about the NFL every day where they're testing every day. The SEC certainly has tons of resources towards it. But what is yours in comparison?
Well, we're using the same testing company that the ACC uses. I think where there's some discrepancy, even in the ACC, is we played Duke last week, and Duke's testing every day. Some of the other ones are testing three times a week. So, you know, we test on Sunday, we test again on Tuesday, and then we'll test again tomorrow. And I feel like every night I go to sleep, I'm losing sleep thinking about what the results are going to come back the next day and who are you going to have. I mean, I'm walking into meetings, you know, every day pulling somebody out for contact tracing or a positive test or, you know, and making an announcement to a team. I thought, hey, if our guys are going to go out here and they're going to go practice every day, then they deserve to know who tested positive. And I needed to make sure I was above transparency with saying, look, y'all are coming out here and you're putting yourself at risk, so you need to know what's going on in your football team. So I make an announcement every day at the end of practice. This is who tested positive. Or we've got a motto we stole from John Harbaugh, be positive, test negative, right? So I'll start practice
good.
With, hey, we're going to be positive today, and everybody tested negative. And our guys go nuts like we just won the Super Bowl. So, you know, I mean, that's, we use the same company as the ACC uses. They've been phenomenal. We have guys who test from 7 to 8 o'clock, you know, including staff. Everybody goes up there between 7 and 8 o'clock, and then we get into meetings, and we get the results back usually within a 24-hour period. Last week, we tested between 7 and 8, and they were able to let us know before we got on a bus to go to Duke, because the bus and the travel is really where it can get you. If you get one of these guys and you put him on a bus and he travels 2.5 hours to Durham and you get there and it comes back positive, you are talking about what does that do to the people that were on the bus and around them. So we get the results back before we travel, which is huge.
Will Healy is with us. He's the Charlotte football coach. They'll take on Middle Tennessee in Murfreesboro this weekend. And, of course, was at Austin Peay as their head coach. How different has recruiting been this year? Because, one, you got high school schedules that some are playing, some aren't. Visits are certainly different during this time. So how much has that changed for this COVID year?
I mean, you can wipe everything you've ever done off the table. I mean, it's virtual visits on Zoom, showing them campus. You know, it is, I think the biggest thing for me is we have to do a great job of understanding what type of character individual we're getting. Like, how much does the guy really love the game of football? How much is he, you know, how much does he understand how to win and how to work, and what type of leader is he going to be? How much is he going to buy into the craziness that's a part of our culture? And finding the right fit, you know, and when you can't be around them a lot and they can't come see you play and they haven't been on your campus and you can't really, I mean, we win on relationships. I think we've got the best people. So I like competing against other people in recruiting when I can be, you know, when our staff could be around people. And guys can really buy into a vision. And when you're not able to do that, it's over Zoom, it's different. But we got 18 commitments. It is by far right now the best class in our school history. And we've made a, you know, it's always a priority. And I think guys are buying into it. So our recruiting department's done a great job. And we got to find a way, because ultimately that's how we're going to take this program to the next level, is because of great players and great fits.
You got a couple of guys on your roster that are from Middle Tennessee, and you know the area. So how much have you seen maybe the talent change with high school football in Middle Tennessee, whether it was during your time at Austin Peay and now at Charlotte?
Well, you just created so many different relationships, you know, in Nashville and you know, Murfreesboro and Clarksville. I mean, it was when I was at Chattanooga, I recruited, you know, Knoxville a lot more than I recruited Nashville, just based on what area I was given. So, made some incredible connections. Those still have really good relationships with those guys, and still recruit the area. I mean, we want to go take some guys out of that area because I know it's really good football, and we've had tremendous success with it. You know, so it's a big part of our recruiting geography, even though we, you know, just like we did at Austin Peay, we take care of home first. You know, we take care of the Carolinas here first, but we have, you know, we signed two or three guys a year out of the state of Tennessee, and in particular the Middle Tennessee area. So we'll continue to do that.
Speaking of Middle Tennessee, the Blue Raiders, Rick Stockstill been there a long time and has that program established, but this looks like a good opportunity for your club to go into Murfreesboro and try and get above that 500 mark. What have you noticed in film study about the Blue Raiders?
Well, I got a ton of respect for Coach Stock and what he's done, and you know, having been at Chattanooga and been at Austin Peay, I think I've worked Rick Stockstill's camp probably. I probably worked it 10 straight years, so he was always awesome to me, and it's a great job. It's a great place, and I'm familiar with a lot of their roster. They're guys that we recruited, whether we were at Austin Peay or whether we were here. You know, I think it starts with the quarterback. He's had a couple 300-yard passing games and has been their leading rusher in 4 or 7 games. I think they've got really good skill position guys, which they always have. Obviously, what they do create on offense with Tony Franklin is, I mean, he's a wizard. He's done it for a long time. He knows how to attack defenses. And, you know, I think defensively they've created a bunch of turnovers. They got a guy leading the country in interceptions. They're flying around, they're playing hard, and they've won 2 out of the last 3 games. So they got some momentum and an off week. So we got to catch up in a hurry, and it is a big game for us. You know, obviously winning conference games is hard enough, but especially doing it on the road. So I'm excited. You know, we'll have a lot of people from Chattanooga and Clarksville and Nashville, that I'll have a chance to see that I hadn't seen in a while, and a lot of relationships in that area. So it'll be a lot of fun to be back over there.
Now, this is going to be the toughest question that you're going to get in this interview. Travis Haney, we got to know him quite well during his time here in Nashville. He is the senior advisor to the head coach. How has he done in that role, Will? I mean, that's a big title for him to have. How has he lived up to it?
Basically, what Travis does is it cleans up all the stuff that I screw up, and he's done a phenomenal job of doing that. Yeah. We've had a lot of fun, and and I told him whenever he came here, I said, there is no telling what type of roles that you'll have to fulfill. And he's been, you know, defensive analyst. He's been media. He's been, you know, marketing, you know, all the community outreach. He's done a little bit of everything, and he's been a huge asset, been a lot of fun to be around, and I'm glad to have him here.
Well, he's a good one, and certainly appreciate your time today, and best of luck this week against MTSU. It's good to catch up with you.
Thank y'all. Good to hear from y'all, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again soon.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you, Will.
Will Healy, guys. The head coach at Charlotte. Again, they take on MTSU this weekend. You can hear all of Middle Tennessee's games right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, I know you have a word, so give it to us.
Well, if you want to bet on that game, I've got a place for you. DraftKings, yeah, mobile sports betting, it's alive and well in our state of Tennessee. Yep, it's up and running, and if you would like to look at that MTSU and Charlotte game or others, DraftKings is your place. You may know them as the leading daily fantasy brand, but they have taken their passion for sports and developed it into America's top-rated sportsbook app. It's not an offshore operation like a lot of other ones that's, you know, offshore, no. No, DraftKings is right here. They're a legitimate sportsbook based right here in the U.S. They're not offshore. DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can bet from wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your house. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code 1025GAME. And when you sign up for a limited time, all new users can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Once again, that code, 1025GAME. Get your deposit bonus up to $1,000, but that's only on DraftKings Sportsbook app. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions do apply. You can see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and you need help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Jace. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Smoother than smooth. Gotta love that stuff. 93 proof. Crafted right there in Memphis, in our state. Distilled in Kentucky. Can't wait to 2 o'clock, guys. Just saying.
Are you listening to this song? That's pretty good choice there.
By the way, it's available in our area, so go out and ask for it. Okay, should do that. Also, they've got a Blue Note Premium small batch 9-year bourbon. I'm talking for the experienced folks. They know what I'm talking about. You know, that aged a little bit longer. It's a nice, easy sipping bourbon. So go out and ask for it in this area. A lot of people are hearing this for the first time and going, yeah, tell me a little bit more about this Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. Well, I am. Go try it, and it will sell itself. There, college football, by the way, Pac-12 at another conference, getting into the mix this week. And I wonder how that'll play out for us tomorrow when we make our picks at high noon, because just like when the Big Ten came into things, you just don't know how it's going to play out, right? I mean, when you're brand new. I mean, you're starting up your season in November. The SEC, and the ACC, and the Big 12, they've all been playing. Some of these schools, like Charlotte, oh, that was pretty interesting. Will Healy said they've had 7 cancellations this season. 7 games postponed or canceled.
That's a lot. You know, Old Dominion checked out of the season, right?
Yeah.
They haven't played a single game. So that's one of the reasons I was asking about that conference. It's such a unique league with teams spread across about half the country, right? You got South Florida, you got Texas, you've got North Carolina, you've got Tennessee. I mean, it is a big geographic footprint. So there's a lot of travel involved. That was a really insightful, you know, just firsthand experience of what a coach goes through.
He said, "I'm a COVID coach,
yeah,
not a football coach."
You know, I mean, and it just
he
it,
said every
it's what you
day.
Have to be.
He's pulling out kids out of meetings or classes, yeah, and be like, hey, yeah, got to go get
tested. So you see the challenge. Yeah, you see the challenge, and I think we all can learn from that, right, in our daily lives is, you know, when you're active and you're mixing with people, you have got to be on the ball at all times, or there's going to be consequences, especially with the test or with the caseload the way it is right now. So for the winter, it's not going to get any easier, so we just have to really be disciplined, and they're doing the best they can. He said this will be the first time they played 3 games in a row.
Yep.
That's crazy to think about.
And they started at the beginning.
Yeah. I mean,
the first time they've had 3 games in a row.
Charlotte's been a silly underdog pick a couple times.
They have. It's pretty interesting him saying,
somebody,
you know, I'm not talking about MTSU. I'm not talking about what they're bringing to the table, what we need to do. I'm going, hey, mask up. Hey, separate. You guys spread apart. He's like, that's my messages all the time.
Think about how many books we're going to get, you know, when some coaches or when their career is done, and the chapter on 2020 and what that was like. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to read
the
behind
the
scenes.
2020, the movies, you could have Netflix. I mean, there's documentaries. It is going to be endless. Endless.
Well, and everybody will be able to relate, right?
I mean, no question.
Certainly we could do our own book. We've never done this before 2020.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, one of the most popular questions I get asked by people when they find out what I do, oh, man, what'd you talk about? What have you been talking about?
I literally had that asked to me several times walking around Saturday night for Halloween. What have you guys been talking about? It's like, well, you know.
We've had plenty.
How have you done this? How have you done this through all this? You know, especially when, you know, just explain to them. Well, That's what we did. We had some really cool interviews.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, just like everybody, you got here's a guy who's wanting to focus on MTSU, and a lot of his focus is on, oh, who tested positive or who you guys need to do this. And, you know, it's just different. Everybody's had to adapt. I mean, like I said, in some way, shape, or form, everybody can relate to everybody's story, right? Somehow. Somehow, yes. Some way, you can relate.
And an increasing number of people can relate on a higher level, right? Just because the more time goes by, the more chance that either somebody in your, if it's not your inner circle, it could be the next circle, right? You're probably going to come across some people that have had some direct experiences with it some way. And that's why I've got my fingers crossed that we can get through this high school football playoff. I know that I was really excited. They completed the girls' soccer season, right? They crowned state champions. Congratulations to BGA, to Ravenwood. Who am I missing? Father Ryan. They won a state championship. Congratulations to all those teams. We talked about how important it was going to be for the team to win a championship, not only to do well on the field, but as you heard Coach Healy, just the daily experience of staying available, right? Doing the right thing so that your team can play. So congratulations to the fall sports on that side, right? Job well done for soccer. Right now, let's keep our fingers crossed that football, which is a bigger deal, right? There's a lot of teams, a lot of games, a lot of players involved, and I know they've had their share of issues here, but let's think positive, and everybody in those communities that are playing, do everything you can to give them the best shot to get through this.
I had an interesting conversation with a guy who lives here, very, very smart guy, has written a lot of books, has got a really cool book that's going to be coming out here soon, and he says, so how have you been? And I was like, yeah, we were both laughing because you kind of feel guilty, like if you're not, like it's natural to complain in 2020, right? it's like you feel a little bit weird, like, hey, man, you know, everything's fine. I mean, the way I was telling him, I was like, it's easy to complain in 2020.
No question.
Right? But I was like, well, I don't have any complaints. And, you know, we were just kind of going through, you know, what you were just talking about, Willie, some of the things, like, how could I complain? I just posted a video yesterday on Facebook, you know, as of up until June in 2020, I didn't know if our boys were going to have a baseball season. I had no clue if we were going to have a baseball season. Well, guess what? We just wrapped up the longest season ever just now, last weekend, not this past weekend, the weekend before. And so we had it. So I don't have any complaints. It was weird and awkward early on. I was like, the first 6 months, I didn't know if we were going to have a baseball season, but we did. You know, this radio show, we've been doing it 7-8 months from home. Okay, whatever. That's been perfectly fine. I've been amazed at how seamless. We've learned a lot too, right? Like how you don't have to do things the way you thought you had to do them. It's been seamless. But we were both laughing. He was saying how he got a new book deal, and his book that he's been, you know, a project he's been working on for years, actually got picked up in 2020, and how there's some things, you know, positive things that happened, but we were both kind of laughing, going, you almost feel guilty telling people, yeah, man, everything's good, right? Because everybody expects your story to be kind of negative or, you know, just trying to make it through every day. You know, that's what you
– Surviving.
Yeah, surviving, right. We've all got, like, those catchphrases that we've used this year.
Hanging
I'm just hanging in there, man. Every day is 2020 can kiss my, you know, beep. You know, can't wait to get to 2020, right? We've all heard all that stuff, but you feel weird going, man, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm not going to complain. So I don't even know how we went down this rabbit hole. My apologies.
Well, I thought it was great from
Will
Hilly.
We've gone down rabbit holes during this time.
I don't even
but
know
for him
what
to be
started
as open,
all this.
For him to be as open as he was, I thought, Will Hilly, that was a great window into what it's like when you're managing that many kids, that many people. You know, it's not just you have your players, then you got your staff and all of those people. You mentioned you had to ask about Travis, right? Just everybody around a program. That's a lot of people that have to stay on point if you're just going to play, if you're just to get on the field and play.
Just off, completely off subject. I've noticed So this is going to be just veering right off the path for 400, Alex. NFL Network, Sarah Walsh is constantly covering the Bucks down in Tampa. Is she a Bucks reporter, or did Sarah and her family, do they now live in Tampa? Random questions for 500.
I am not sure on that.
But this is now several weeks. The backdrop is Raymond James Stadium down in Tampa covering the Bucks, and it's always Sarah that they go to. So I was just curious, has she turned into kind of their Bucks reporter because she lives down there now, or did they send her down there during the week because of Tom Brady and Gronkowski and Antonio Brown now, is she still living here and just going down there during the week? Like I said, random questions for 500.
Her profile on Twitter says NFL sports broadcaster, NFL on Fox and NFL Network.
Okay.
Doesn't specify a particular team.
Yeah, that's right. She has done, I think she's done sidelines for some Fox games.
She has. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not sure.
And speaking of the Bucks, Mr. Brown.
Well, I was going to say, yes.
He's on the field.
He is, and he did a presser after practice today wearing a TB12 hat. Imagine that.
Buddies.
Well,
Hashtag buddies.
Definitely the influence of Mr. Brady got on the gig. So let's see if he makes the most of it.
Isn't that a strange relationship?
Very strange.
Tom Brady.
But I was hearing that a lot in the circles of Patriots fans that I know, that was a big story and sort of an underrated story about last year, is Brady was furious behind the scenes that they did not stick it out with Antonio Brown and just say, we should have kept him if there was any way. You know, they went to bat and got him, and then they lost him. But that was the missing piece, right? Imagine if – but I don't know. Who knows what would have happened, right? Brown did nothing to help himself throughout the whole situation. But that's really where it was born. When they brought him in, Brady was like, man, this guy is perfect for what we need. So we'll see.
I know there's circumstances on why. And it's – I don't know if it's necessarily early – in this, but you know, the question we've all asked, everyone has asked, right, all these years through this dynasty, is it the coach or is it the quarterback, right? We all want to know who made who. I know that there's circumstances. They've got cap issues, they've got issues. But right now, isn't it pretty easy? Well, not easy. Is the answer the quarterback? Who made who? Or is it just because the Patriots are kind of in salary cap jail and they are depleted of talent?
I certainly think it. I mean, you can't dismiss the fact that Tom Brady had the years that he had there.
I bring up because last year, how many times did we talk about Tom Brady's roster being a pile of crap?
Right. I think it's a little you have to give it a little bit of both. And Edelman's been hurt. So
Edelman was hurt a lot during Brady's career too.
Yeah,
yeah, but he was
so
hurt.
Was Gronk.
Right now, Edelman. I've been reading because full disclosure, Chase and I's fantasy team, we have Edelman. He's got a bone on bone issue, right? All the cartilage is gone, so he's been playing through it. He's hardly practiced all year, so I just think he's hit a level that he wasn't at, even when he was been banged up before. I think he's just not the same guy, but it is, man, you talk about trying to get by with not a whole lot. Rex Burkhead and Damian Harris, and I mean, they don't have anybody who when you're game planning against the Patriots offense, who do you really have to worry about?
Yeah,
well, that was the case last year too.
Yeah, and to Darren's point, that just shows you how good Brady really was, and Cam Newton,
and they weren't very good down the stretch offensively.
No. They weren't. And
but they still went to the playoffs, and this team is not going to the playoffs.
No, not at all. I mean, we're talking about in the AFC East, Buffalo and potentially Miami, you know, having a resurgence. So New England's not a part of the conversation. And you do wonder what if you take away – because, I mean, think about it. You had a ton of players that opted out. But if you put Brady back on this team,
that's a good question. What does the offense look like? Yeah,
because I think everything they've ever done, they've been able to operate differently than everybody else through two decades. They make trades. Everybody to question and scratch their head of what? Chandler Jones? Why would you get rid of him? Logan Mankins? What? Are you kidding me? What are you doing? And nothing ever bit them in the butt. Nothing. Cuts, trades, releases, not signing guys, everything, however they've operated over the years, nothing ever affected them. Every year, 11 wins, 12 wins, 13 wins, win the division, on to the playoffs you go. And all of a sudden, they've operated the same way. They lose Tom Brady's $25 million salary cap. He goes away. They pay Cam Newton peanuts. And guess what? They look like a shell of themselves the last two decades.
They're not good. And the other thing that has been a little different, I think people who visualize them as a playoff team still, where they would get more than they've gotten from Cam Newton, who certainly has struggled. The turnovers have been big, but their defense has not been nearly as good. People thought they would still have an elite defense. I'm looking at the Football Outsiders. They're ranked 27th in defense. Now, they've had some COVID issues on top of all the other issues. That hasn't helped. But, man, that's hardly New England defense.
I mean, they're putting up – NFL Network is talking about them and just threw up. They've put
they
up,
just
what,
threw
19?
Up? Somebody threw up?
Yeah, they threw up. Threw up their threw up their 19 points per game is what they're putting up. That's the worst for the Patriots since 2000. So since before Brady.
So getting back to my original question, is the answer the quarterback is who made who?
And Belichick said, we sold out, won 3 Super Bowls. This year we had less to work with. It's not an excuse. It's just a fact. So to your point, yeah, you had less to work with because you don't have Brady.
You can't tell me that you think Brady would be elevating them with the same exact personnel this year. Might be a little better, but I'm not sure how much he could.
Well, how many wins?
Well,
last
year,
wins do you think?
We kept saying they had nobody on offense. No one. And yet they won double-digit games, and they went to the playoffs. We said it all year. We said they have no one on offense. He's got no weapons whatsoever. And yet they won double-digit games, which is more than the Titans, who've gone 9-7 4 years in a row. And you're telling me that Tom Brady isn't the reason for that? That now all of a sudden he's gone and the wheels fall off? I mean, they are going to
win. They had maybe the number one defense. They had a top five defense.
They may win 6 games this year, maybe.
That's the way it's trending.
So you're telling me that's just what? Just, I don't know, just it was time for the dynasty to collapse? I mean, I don't know. I just find that hard to believe. It was time for what?
It was time, and Tom's living the
Their defense has gone from 1 to 27. That's more for Tom Brady to have to overcome.
Maybe it's because their offense doesn't stay on the field long enough and doesn't give their defense enough of a break. Maybe Cam Newton doesn't
complimentary
sustain
football.
Long drives, or maybe he turns over the ball all the time.
But the defense
Tom Brady
isn't
did
good.
Do it.
The defense is not as good.
And
that
the offense doesn't have anything to do with that?
Well, it's got something to do with it, but the defense is still out there. That's the only reason they've gone from 1 to 27? Is the offense isn't as good?
Just saying. Well, they weren't ever like that when Tom Brady was there. That's 2 decades worth of work.
They went, actually, when Tom Brady was at his peak, they did have some shaky defenses that they just outscored everybody. I think the last Super Bowl that they won would be an example. That wasn't a great defense, right? One of those years, you have to take a look year by year for their defense. But over that long of a period of time, Brady is a constant for sure. And, you know, some years are better than others for certain units. But are you just trying to discount everything Belichick has done?
I'm not saying that, you know, Brady's going to win a Super Bowl with the Bucs. They may never win a Super Bowl again, either one of them, without each other. Maybe it was the perfect match. But I'm just saying right now, today, everybody always wanted to say who made who, right? Did the quarterback make the coach or did the coach make the quarterback? We were told, a lot of people wanted to believe that, you know, it was Belichick and the system and the way they operated, and that's why Tom Brady had so much success. Well, he's gone off to Tampa, and they're going to the playoffs. That team's going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And New England's looking at a 5-11 or 6-10 season.
Yeah, and Tampa's going to be – I mean, they're going to be one of the contenders out of the NFC for
know,
sure. There's
what's a big
no
reason for that? They have the number one defense.
Yeah, and they have weapons. I mean, they have a little bit of everything.
But who has the number one defense?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and they had the number one defense last year, too, without Tom Brady.
Well, they were number six. They had a very good defense last year, for sure.
Well, we know when they came in here, they had the number one defense, and they were number one against the run last year when they came to Nashville.
They finished number one against the run, number 13 against passive football outsiders. You know, there's different ways to do defense. But I'm just saying that Tampa Bay, defensively, they don't get the headlines. It's all Tom Brady and Antonio Brown and Mike Evans. But the defense is really what is making them.
Oh, I've brought it up many times. White and David are fantastic to watch. Those two linebackers are ridiculous. Watch a Bucs game. If White and David don't jump off the page at you, then I don't know what to tell you, because they are fantastic. You can't get anything by those two guys. They are everywhere. It's like they're cloned. It's like you can't – I mean, they're in on every play. It's amazing. All right, we'll come back, and we will put a bow on Wednesday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack.
Well, maybe this is what was playing at the facility yesterday when – John Robinson informed three players, Bo Brinkley, Jonathan Joseph, and Vic Beasley. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints, smoother than smooth. Let's bring in Tyrone, who's on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Great.
I tell you, just getting back to the last topic you talked about. I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they've got a great defense. I mean, great linebacker core, but the bottom line is it's Brady. I mean, this team had a great defense last year, and they were 7-9, I think, and they haven't done nothing since 2002, and they haven't made the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, since 2007. So it's no accident you bring in the greatest quarterback of all time, and you're 6-2, and I think they're trending in the right way. And it's no accident. You're right. At some point, we need to look at last year's team, because everybody tried to try to play in Brady's obituary that he's done, washed up. But, hey, he went 12-4 with them bag of bums last year. And now this year, they're 2-5, trending in the wrong direction. He's making Belichick look like an old fool, an old fraud, because I've always felt like it was more Brady than Belichick, and it's been proven that. And when you look at Tom Brady acquisitions, he's kind of been the general manager. He brought in Gronkowski out of retirement. He brought in AB, so he's even proven he's a better GM than Belichick. So the bottom line is, it's Brady. Yeah, they have a great defense, and it's complimentary. But you take Brady off this team, I don't think you're seeing 6-2 and potentially Super Bowl. So it's Brady and New England. You get what you deserve. You ran off in particularly Belichick. You ran off the greatest quarterback of all time. Now you look like an old sinking ship without a sailman. So serves you right. Always been Brady, and I've always contended that. And this year it just goes to show. And, 12-4 last year with them bag of bums. And now they're 2-5, and they're headed for the toilet bowl. Tells you all you need to know.
It is pretty. Tell us how you really feel.
By the way, Tyrone is correct. Tampa has not been to the playoffs since 2007.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
2007. By the way, they had the number one. That's why I made a point to bring that up. They had the number one defense in the league last year, and they went 7-9. So it's the same defense. And yet this year, they're what, 6-2 right now? I mean, just saying, you can't get away from the fact that there's no doubt there is a Tom Brady effect. Since 2007, and the Patriots do, they look bad. They look really bad. Like, the good news is, Willie, I think we're not going to have to do anything on our bet, because I think we're going to split, right? It was if
that's how it looks,
the Bucs and the Patriots go to the playoffs, you've got to take us out to dinner. If the Bucs and the Patriots don't go to the playoffs, we've got to take you guys out to dinner. If it splits 1-1, then, you know, it's just
it's a push.
So I think we're headed for a push.
Advantage push.
Have you guys noticed, and I am perfect to speak on this because I feel this way, but Tom Brady, like when Tom Brady was with the Patriots, you know, they won so much. You know what happens when you win? They became the enemy. Everybody hated him. I was like, can't stand Tom Brady. You know, his supermodel wife, everything's perfect. Look at him. Now he goes to Tampa. And I have the feeling, and I've talked to different people that are like, yeah, you know, he's kind of cool now. Like, I'm cool with Tom. Now he's in sunny Tampa. He's with the Bucks. He's got Bruce Arians. He's got his group of boys down there that he's put together. Gronk's out of retirement. It's, again, to use the wrestling analogy, now he's gone from being the heel to the babyface. And I think, you know, Tyrone's call there was an example of that, because a lot of people, they didn't like the Patriots because they didn't like Grumpy Belichick. Like, wow, well, Cincinnati.
We've got a rebuttal to Tyrone's call. Let's go to Ben.
Let's do it.
Wait in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben, what's up?
I can't let that guy over here talk about Bill Belichick the way he did. First of all, you know, look, the Patriots look like hot garbage. I'll be the first Patriots fan to say it. You know what I mean? But let's look at the whole picture. Let's not be quick to bury Bill. When Tom left and he had himself a great receiving corps already there that Arians had, he just needed a good quarterback. Their offensive line was suspect, and Brady was getting beat up like a pinata for the first couple of games. And until he had that one game where he was cussing everybody out on the line, you know, they didn't get that stuff together. Now you add Gronkowski getting a little bit familiar with the situation there in Tampa Bay. You've got, you know, Leonard Fournette. It's a stacked team. You got AB now. I mean, come on. You give Bill Belichick that core of wide receivers and that talent that they got in that team, we'll win another 10 Super Bowls. Are you kidding me? Now, you look at what Bill's left with. Bill has already come out and said, look, we paid a lot to make it to the playoffs and the games. We got contracts. We got guys that sat out. Eight players sat out, are sitting out right now in New England. Eight players. And they're not eight rookies. They're eight starters. We're playing with all rookies. Who's Cam throwing to? Cam's out there trying to put the team on his back, and he's doing his best he can, but he can't win the game by himself. I think Cam's doing a great job. I think Bill's trying to make something out of nothing. But even the greatest coach of all time can't make gold out of poop.
Well, he's the one who drafted Nikhil Harry, is he not, in the first round or high second round? He drafted supposedly their next stud receiver. How's that turned out?
Well, but again, you're saying nobody, even the greatest, make mistakes.
Sure.
I mean, come on. You know, you can't, nobody's perfect. We're all human. You know what I mean? But to say that Bill is not what he is, you got to be crazy. Because before Tom, there was Bill. And it was Bill who drafted Tom at 199, like they've played out in a million historical videos on ESPN and all over the place. So let's not get crazy, Tyrone. Let's just reel it in. Leave the Patriots alone.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I think a fun study that we could never do would be take Tom Brady off the Bucs, put him back on the Patriots, take Jameis Winston off the Saints, put him back on the Bucs, leave the teams as they are now and see what happens.
Interesting.
And just think about
it. Well, the reason he didn't have weapons like that is because he never put any stock into having weapons like that, right? The Patriots didn't try to do that.
What? What? Not last year, maybe, but they got Randy Moss and Corey Dillon and all
Randy,
of the guys.
Corey, come on. Randy Moss was their big one. All they did was bring in guys that nobody had. Wes Welker, they traded for him, and everybody was like, who?
He was.
They made these guys.
Deion Branch, you know, really.
Julian Edelman was a quarterback. They turned these guys into that. They didn't go out and draft Mike Evans in the first round. high first-round pick. They didn't do that. Well, one, they didn't ever have high first-round picks, but they didn't go invest in those guys like that. They didn't do that. They made those guys. They created those guys, Danny Amendolas of the world.
These guys are really good.
For the record.
In New England, they were really good.
For the record, before Brady, Bill Belichick had one winning season. That was 94 in Cleveland, 11-5.
And they ran him out on a rail.
Man, what is going on? What did Bill do? You guys are just dumping on Bill Belichick. I don't get it.
Good speech, coach.
Throwing out the numbers.
I'm just doing the commercial. Good speech, coach. I know. All right, that'll do it for our show on this Wednesday. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us bright and early tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.